You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
With the election coming up this year, we're starting to see the formation of concrete policy platforms, with one major topic this election being the cost of living. Prime Minister Hipkins calls their approach a focus on bread and butter issues, whereas National has come out with a five-point plan to, quote, get inflation under control. I discuss this plan with Shane Retty, beginning by asking him to explain the first point, a proposal to end the Reserve Bank's dual mandate.
So when Labor came into government in 2017, they changed the narrow focus of the Reserve Bank. Up to that point, one of the key missions of the Reserve Bank was to maintain inflation between 1% to 3%. That was almost its core mission. But in 2017, Grant Robertson said, you know, I'm going to give you another equally as important mandate, and that is to maintain maximum sustainable employment. Now, what that encourages, because the key tool or lever, if you like, that the Reserve Bank has is the official cash rate, the incentive is to reduce that tax rate, reduce that OCR rate, reduce the cash rate. And when you do that, what you do is you encourage businesses to grow and to take on more people, thus boosting employment. The problem there is, if you do stimulate the market in that way, but for example, you have restrictive immigration settings, where do those people come from? In effect, all that happens is you end up boosting wage inflation as businesses seek to respond to that growth, but don't have the workers, and so the only way they can compete is to raise wages, and you get wage inflation. So the problem we have there is that addition of maximum sustainable employment to the Reserve Bank mandate, and we think it should go back to what it was doing a reasonable job with, just focusing on inflation.
Do you believe that this dual mandate prevented the OCR from rising faster than it should have?
Look, I think it probably did. All the evidence would suggest that it was kept lower to stimulate growth, to stimulate business, and therefore achieve the goal of maximum, or attempt to achieve the goal of maximum sustainable employment. So certainly there is that thinking that the OCR was kept lower for longer than it should have to try and achieve that second objective, the consequence of which we're paying for now.
Now, the second point, stop adding costs to businesses, as the website lists it, and I just want to cover three of these sort of sub-points very quickly. The first being a proposal to restore interest deductibility for rental properties. Why do this?
Oh, because we know all that's done has been to pass through the costs of interest deductibility through onto rents, which are some of the highest they've been for years, and to remove landlords from the rental market. It has not achieved whatever they thought they were going to achieve. All it's done is impose higher costs onto renters. So we think that should be returned back to what it was. Oh, and by the way, it is not a tax loophole as they've tried to sell it. It is a legitimate tax expense, which pretty much every other tax expense is able to be expensed, not just in this country, but pretty much every country in the world.
Some might be concerned that renting and renting out rental properties and buying them for that purpose is not really adding value to the economy. How do you address these concerns?
Just those concerns by saying if you're a renter and you're paying some of the highest rental costs you've ever had, that is all you see. The thinking behind that isn't in your vision. It's just that your rent is now becoming unsustainable and taking a bigger and bigger part of your weekly income. I think the second thing is that suggestion that these are investors, multiple high-value investors doing well, actually a substantial number, a mum and pa, if you like, investors with a single rental property, and they have worked hard to accumulate that capital, and this is what their, for want of a better word, their pension equivalent or their retirement life might be funded on. So I think what we're seeing here by not having that is actually just more pain for renters.
Next, withdrawing the fair pay agreement, do you not believe that a fair pay agreement is the sort of thing that would keep wages high enough to keep people buoyant through a cost of living crisis? Why would repealing this help?
Oh, because the track record of this is industrial rewards was terrible. We've seen this in a previous life here in New Zealand, and while some of the proponents would point to the benefits in Australia, for example, of similar type awards, there are many, many examples of where it has actually been hindering of productive growth in the economy. And as I say, New Zealand has lived this experience as industrial awards, and it was a terrible situation that did not work for us, and they were removed. So no, we're not enthusiastic towards fair pay agreements.
And axing unemployment insurance at a time when we are either in a recession or entering into a recession, there are already a lot of concerns about the number of people that might become unemployed. Do you believe that axing the insurance now is the most viable solution when we could otherwise have these people be paid out enough money that they can then go back into the workforce and not suffer too greatly from a recession?
Yes, it is to remove that, and I think that's what you'll see with this government, because they'll come to the same realisation that here at the moment, while we have slowly rising unemployment, it is still here today, currently low. And secondly, that increased burden, because remember, businesses are going to pay for this, that increased burden onto business when they're already struggling with cost of living and cost of doing business, this would be terrible timing. And I'll predict that you'll see the government start to peel that back relatively soon, maybe even in the next few weeks.
Do you not believe that the burden might be greater on those that lose a job rather than on the businesses that might lose employers at a time when unemployment is likely to rise?
What we're needing to do is to sensibly support business and remove the hurdles that they have so that they can do what they're best at, which in turn propagates sustainable employment, increases discretionary income into people's pockets and gives them their best chance of dealing with this cost of living crisis.
Now, reducing economic bottlenecks, the third point of the plan, you've mentioned taking costs away from businesses. There are also points here about the dependency crisis and sorting an immigration mess. Could you go over both of these briefly and explain how these might be addressed and what they are?
Sure. The very best example is our immigration settings. So we've clearly got a workforce shortage across almost every single industry. And if I focus on the domain that I have particular expertise on in health, it is just unbelievable why several days before Christmas the government suddenly flip-flopped and said, oh, we will commission the day one pathway for nurses towards residency. It had been called for months. Everyone said it was vital and important to do. Everyone except Andrew Little said that this was one of the key levers to try and address our health system crisis. But the Labor government did not want to listen. Now our dilemma is that we're probably too late, because nurses have choices. And internationally, mobile nurses have choices, and they have made choices to Canada, and they have made choices to Australia. And my concern here is we're too late. The epiphany was too late, and we're now behind the eight ball, and we will struggle to get that workforce into New Zealand. And we found that across other industries, hospitality, engineering, the immigration settings have not been permissive enough to stimulate and to encourage a workforce here in New Zealand, and now we're paying the price.
And what is a dependency crisis? Is this a crisis of people not willing to go into work, or a crisis of people not getting the support that they need if they're not in work?
Look, it's probably a combination of a number of factors. It's a combination of people who are not in the right situation to be able to go to work. And if we look, for example, people who want to train, what we know is that when employment is low, that people don't train, they go out and work. And so what we see is the polytech numbers are down to about a third, as I understand it. And that is a natural cycle that you normally get that. Unemployment low, people don't train, unemployment up, people train. But this situation has a long tail, because if you think that it takes 3 to 5 years to grow an average graduate, and here we are now with low training numbers, that's a tale we're going to pay the price for in another 3 to 5 years.
And the last two points that we can only go over briefly in the interest of time are tax relief and spending discipline. I understand spending discipline to be the axing of some of these bigger policies that we've talked about in the past. You can add to that if you want to. But I do want to ask, In terms of tax relief, what can we expect from National?
Oh, in terms of, well, let me just come back to the first point. As you're saying, this government spent more money, has more bureaucrats, and has worse outcomes. And I could point to tens of millions of dollars to health consultants for no benefit whatsoever. And so it has been bloated and has been lazy in its spending and its accountability, and that does need to have some discipline brought to it. For workers, because of the cost of living, what has happened is their wages have gone up to try and meet that cost of living. That has pushed them into new tax brackets. For example, at the 48,000 cutoff, instead of paying 17.5 cents tax in the dollar, they're bumped into that next tax bracket and they're paying 30%. So there's been tax bracket creep. We will inflation adjust the tax bracket to take that into account so that the money that people earn, they'll have more of to spend as they choose to spend it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.